world. I'm John Batchelor. What is the mission of industrial policy, national industrial policy? I welcome Veronique de Rizzi of the Mercatus Center, writing a creator syndicate. And here's a clue. It's not about jobs. A very good evening to you, Veronique. The Biden administration is keen on a national industrial policy in a number of directions. Chiefly, I want to emphasize in making microchips, the high-end stuff, the really good stuff that we need to grow. However, in your essay, you say this is not about jobs. Why not, and what is it about? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, the idea of industrial policy, right, is about reorganizing resources in the economy in the way that is different than the way these resources and assets and investments are currently taking place. So that means basically going against the allocation that market actors have chosen. And the economists totally have an allowance for this in the case of national security or other like important goals to pursue, where ultimately the economics of it and basically reorganizing things in the way that's less efficient we admit that has a cost, but if it's in pursuit of a higher goal, that's okay. But the problem is a lot of the people who are trying to sell industrial policy in this reorg by giving government incentives to through tax breaks or loan guaranteed or subsidies or things like this, they also want to claim that cost is actually not a cost, it's a benefit, and in fact the economy is going to run better than it was, and it's going to create lots of jobs. It's just very improbable. It's very unlikely unless the government of course has a way of knowing something about good investments that the private sector doesn't, that people investing their own money don't. So it's implausible. But there's another argument also, which is like, let's even imagine that all these incentives that the government is giving right now to reorganize manufacturing and to boost national manufacturing in a way that is not done. Let's even say this brings on a boom in manufacturing. Well, even in that case, it's very unrealistic to believe that a boom in jobs will follow. And that's in large part because first, it would mean that a lot of resources are shifting towards this new form of manufacturing away from others, right? And also manufacturing these days, even in countries like Germany, even in countries like China, actually the share of people employed in manufacturing as a country become richer declines. And that is true everywhere. It's true, like when you have like the advocates of industrial policy who are praising Germany for exporting a lot and for being invested in having enormous manufacturing output. I mean, their share of people employed in manufacturing is declined just like ours. So it's not realistic. It doesn't hold water.
You observe that national security is used too often as an excuse for inefficient subsidies. Is that going on in the United States right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, so President Trump obviously used the steel tariffs as a national security, used a national security section to impose the tariffs, even though the military was saying, no, we really don't need this. We have all the steel that we need for our needs. And if you think a lot of what President Biden is doing, whether it's for semiconductor or whether it is for even the Inflation Reduction Act, some of it is done in the name of national security. And again, it's important to talk about actually there are reasons. Like let's say for instance, if China invades Taiwan, considering the leadership that Taiwan plays in the production of semiconductor, it would cause serious and real disruption. And so it's worth thinking from a national security, and considering that we use chips everywhere now and a lot of sectors, it would be very disruptive. So it is worth to actually have a conversation from a national security perspective. But we have to recognize again that taking measures to address this will have a cost. And so and it's one that we think is worth bearing, fine. But the problem is when you hear then the administration turn around and talk about all these things that we're doing for national security, what's great about them is that these bills and spending and subsidies are going to actually create more union jobs, more jobs. They're going to bring on more childcare requirement. They're going to, boost American-made stuff. That's where there's a real disconnect. Because what is it? Is it to serve national security interests, or is it to serve all of these other interests?
Within these last hours, the Federal Reserve has presented its case for an 11th hike since the spring of 2022. You've been my guide on this. The question of inflation remains unsolved, I believe. You've taught me that we need a 2% average, not just achieving 2% once, like making a basket free throw. So right now, the Federal Reserve is saying, trust, they're going to watch the data, and if more cuts, more hikes are needed, they will follow through. Do you approve of Mr. Powell's present plan?
Well, so inflation, the top line number has decreased quite dramatically, but what's worrisome is that the core really is really kind of sticking. It seems to be like it's not going away, and I believe it went up a little bit. And that is really worrisome. And I think this is what's driving Chairman Powell's decision. I remain a little bit hawkish on the need to continue raising rates. But the problem ultimately is something you and I have talked about a lot, is that the Fed should not be doing this alone. The reason why we're demanding so much of the Fed, not only to be able to foresee how prices are going to go in the future and to really calibrate the raising the rates in the exact fashion manner that will get us not, the right reduction in prices, not too much, and all of this, is because we're not using the other path to reducing inflation, and that is reducing spending, that is freeing the supply side to lower cost and to grow the economy. There's none of that going on with this administration. In fact, it's mostly more spending, more regulation, loan forgiveness, even though after it's been struck down by the Supreme Court, it's always more of the things that they really should not be doing to help out the Fed.
And right now, the Fed is indicating 2025 to achieve its mission. Does that sound right to you? We have a few minutes.
It's always hard to tell, but I think it's just kind of really telling. First, the economy is growing. Is still growing, and the projections are that it's not slowing, and core inflation remains really stubbornly high.
2025 then. Véronique de Rougie, writing at the Creator Syndicate about industrial policy, spending, 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 and about the Federal Reserve on a course that will take at least another year, if not more. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.